It's amazing how the Spirit works. Because the last, probably about 2 weeks ago, Jeff asked me to preach, and these two words came to me, and I've been working through this Bible study with my aunt, and it's called fully satisfied. What does that truly mean? And I think this is a good stepping point for all of us. And we're going to be going into the Beatitudes, but before that, I want to go to my next slide, which is, let's look at what the actual definition of satisfied means. To fulfill the desires, expectation, needs, or demands a person, the mind, give full commitment to. And then fully means completely, entirely, or to the fullest extent. That means you're all in. You're committed. But you're also, that was good. I don't know if you've ever had a slice of pizza that was so satisfying. You're like, oh my goodness, that was delicious. I know that I have that same feeling whenever I eat John's barbecue, his ribs. I'm like, oh man. It's just amazing, that satisfaction going, yes. It clenched it, you know. It was awesome. As we go into the Bible in Genesis 3, we see ourselves two people, Adam and Eve. They go into the garden. And let's see those verses. It's slowly going. That's okay. Oh, that's okay. It's the song lyrics. That's right. That's okay. We're going to the song lyrics. That's right. Sorry, I was trying to do this. I was trying to do without my iPad. So, song lyrics. We're going to go to this wonderful song, Satisfaction, from Rolling Stones. I think all of us can think about it, you know. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. So, you know, because I try, and I think it says, I try, right? And I try again. And you keep on reading those lyrics, you can see that there's this, he didn't just write this lyrics just because he felt that it might be a little steppy and happy and let's go and dance and groove. I think there's something real in that, that he's not satisfied. That was back in, what, probably in the 60s? Satisfaction. Are you satisfied in your life? Let's go to the next song lyrics. This comes from the musical Hamilton, the new thing that everyone wants to go see, right? And this is actually called Satisfied. The poor get worked, the rich get richer, the world gets worse. Do you get the picture? The poor gets dead, the rich get depressed, the ugly get mad, the pretty get stressed. Does that sound happy? No. And I think even in the news media, we're starting to get a lot of depression. Oh, all this negativity, all this other things. And why is that? Is it because we're not satisfied? Are we looking for something else to fill the hole? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So now let's go to Genesis 3, now that I know where I'm at. Adam and Eve. God has made this awesome place, and what does he direct us to do? Not to eat from the tree. You can have everything else. Everything else but that. And what does that slithering snake say? Why not? Come on, go get it. This is your opportunity. And what do? They're not satisfied with everything else they have. They grab that fruit from the tree of knowledge. And they eat it. Let's go to the next slide. We go into Exodus 20. The Israelites have been freed. Yes, exciting, right? No, They start trying to fulfill all their lives with all these idols and other things. And then who goes up to the mountain? See if everybody knows the answer. Moses, yes. And he makes the Ten Commandments. And they're very pretty simple little things, right? Thou shalt not have no other gods. Okay. That should be easy, right? No. What about the other one? Thou shalt not make other idols. No. What? This is starting to get hard. Thou shalt not take name Lord's name in vain. Have you ever stubbed your toe? Right there, it's the end of it, right? And we go all the way down to thou shalt not covet. America is built on coveting other things, wanting what the other person has. I would love to have a Ferrari, so does Jeff. He also would love to have a Jeep and a big house with lots and lots of food and brownies and cookies. And yet we're still not satisfied. How do we get to the next step? Let's check out the next one. Oh, Ecclesiastes, King Solomon. Oh my goodness, this guy. This is the son of David. And this guy has literally everything. Everything. He has more wives than you don't want to know. I mean, it's just crazy. He has more food, more gold, more everything. And Ecclesiastes 1:8, he says, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We want more. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor will he love us, loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. Again, it's the love of money, right? We always want more. We want to get to that next job promotion. Because then we can get more things, right? We want to have a bigger house, a better car, better retirement. We want better things. I want a better computer. My son was wanting a computer for so long, for the last year and a half. I want a computer. I need a computer. Do you really need a computer? Or do you just want a computer? The next thing is Ecclesiastes 3, a time for everything. And this is one that was ripped off by another artist. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear, a time to sow. Our lives are full of little points that we need to start thinking about on how we're going to react. How are we going to do? How are we going to complain about it? Are we going to live within that moment? In a death of a friend? In a lie that you actually maybe had taken out on maybe your wife or your child? Yeah, I was there. I was eating brunch with this person when you weren't. Maybe you were drinking at the hall. I don't know. And one lie leads to another lie. We need to be thinking about how we react with the people around us, especially for Christians. And I think the next one is the Beatitudes. Oh, no, yes, it is. Yes, 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 yes. I'm doing good. I'm doing better at this, Jeff. Beatitudes. This is when he's on the Sermon on the Mount. Big, huge hillside, way up high. People all down below. And he says, and he opened up his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. In the Greek, it actually stands for fully satisfied. So let me read that again. Fully satisfied are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what does poor in spirit mean? Humble. Are you humble all the time? Do you always have to be right? If the answer is yes, all the time, you might want to start taking a step back and start be a little bit more humble. I have that issue sometimes. My wife will attest. Can I say her name in? Be humble. Being humble is the realization that all your gifts and blessings come from God. It's hard. It's hard getting into that moment of being humble. Being okay with when someone says, you know what, you made a mistake, and saying, I'm sorry. I made that mistake. My bad. Let's go to the next one. Fully satisfied are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This doesn't mean death. This means, do you mourn on the sin? Do you regret the sins that you have done? What about the sins of the world? Do you ask for forgiveness about that? Hey, God, please forgive what some of our politicians are doing. They are stupid sheep. They're making us look bad. They're not representing you. And help me not be like them. Help me be that light. Be that light for my children, for my wife, for my friends, for my coworkers. Do you hurt the one that has been so good to us, which is Jesus? You need to think about that every decision you make. Mourning our fallen nature produces a desire to improve ourselves and to be more like Christ. We need to be more like Christ. And how do you do that? Admitting that you're a sinner. Congratulations. I'm one too. Let's go to verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And of course, I'm pretty sure all of you have now understand this, because I know Jeff has said this and many other pastors said this. Meek does not mean weak. In Matthew 11, 29 through 30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, meek, in heart, and that you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus often went out and helped others when no one else would dare get next to them or talk to them. You saw that with the prostitutes, the tax collectors, guys that were mean, rough on the outside. We need to give people a chance. We need to pray for them too. Verse 6. Blessed are those who are hungry for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Righteousness means right with God. Noah is one of those men. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Wouldn't that be awesome to be known for that? Are you striving to do that? To be a woman of God? Digging into the Bible? Trying to talk to people about Jesus and what he did for you? It's hard. It's not easy. It's hard being judged. Does anybody like to be judged? Oh, no. No one likes that. Proverbs 10, 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die to the lack of sense. Righteousness is a good thing. The book of Proverbs has tons and tons of verses about righteousness and wisdom, using that knowledge that God has given us. Verse 7. Fully satisfied are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Luke 6, 36. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is hard to give. I know there have been times for my own children when I try to discipline them, my voice raises really loud. Does anybody have a boisterous dad who yells at them or used to yell at them? Yeah. Of course, I don't want to yell because then I'll burst the speakers, and you know. But I get down hard on him, and I'm like, "I want to destroy you, Xander. Why did you do that, or Brayden?" And then I think about what God did on the cross, and how do I need to give that example to give them mercy, even though they don't deserve it, right? Trying to teach them how to be merciful. Same thing goes with our friendships, our relationships, our coworkers. If you're being hard on one of your friends because of something they did, I dare you to give a little bit of mercy to them. Be fully satisfied in that. Be okay with that. Know that God is going to work in them if you show them mercy. It's a hard thing to do. I had to do that with my father. I know he was not going to change. He had done many horrible things, beat me. But I asked for forgiveness for my hatred towards that part of him. I gave him that mercy. No longer mine. It is now Jesus's. It's on that shelf. Now, do I sometimes want to go grab it off the shelf? Yes, but I need to let that go. Lot and his daughters. I'm not going to go into that story because if you need a story that will shock you and awe you, read what happens when Lot is trying to get out of that city. But it talks about mercy. And I ask you to do this later on tonight or maybe later on this week. Read that story and talk about mercy and think about how that mercy came about. Genesis 19:16, but he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and sent him outside of the city so that he was freed from this crowd of people. When you read the story, it was an intense, crazy situation. It was mercy to a very full extent. Being merciful to your friends is a good thing, even to enemies too. Verse 8, fully satisfied are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now we always want to say children are pure of heart, but there's a lot of times they aren't. Trust me, I have two. If you've ever acted perfectly free of any personal gain, that is pure of heart. If you're just doing it because of out of love, act of kindness, buying someone a soda, buying them a lunch, buying the person who's right behind you in the drive-thru, looking into someone's eyes, knowing that they're having one of the hardest days and saying, you know what? Do you need a hug? That happened to me on Wednesday. The vice president's admin assistant had just lost her family. I didn't know about that. She had lost an aunt and her mom in the same week. And as she's walking through to get to her desk, her head is down. You can tell that her eyes are... And I just stopped, and I'm like, Suzanne, are you okay? And she shook her head and kept on walking. I'm all, hey, Suzanne, do you need a hug? And she stopped right there, and we hugged. She needed that. I was willing to take what I was seeing and put a little my time aside, even though I was stressed out last week, and give her that moment. And we talked for about 20 minutes, and she told me about all the things that were going on in her life. Sometimes we need to step aside of our own life situations to be that pure of heart. If we notice someone's hurting or having a hard time, or just needs a listening ear. And trust me, as a man, it's hard to listen and not give advice. Don't give advice. I'm learning that one after 20 years of marriage, and I'm still learning that, okay? And there are daily things like, let's do it this way. Just listen. Just watch. So I challenge you to do an act of kindness. I'm trying to send it up high every day. Does it take a lot? Maybe it's just washing the dishes. Maybe it's just giving a hug. Maybe it's buying a Coke to a person who's been torturing you. And you're just trying to say, hey, I'm willing to give you something. Fully satisfied are the pure in heart. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers are not only living peaceful lives, but they also try to bring peace to their friendships. Story about Ethan and James. Oh, boy. I was 24 years old. I'd been with Christ for 3, and I was starting to help out with the youth group at Hoffman Baptist Church. The youth group was about 150 students, and I was in charge of about 8 boys. Ages around 14 to 18 years old. And I had this boy named Ethan. This boy, Ethan, was about 6'3", 200 and some odd pounds, big boy. He had just accepted Christ about a month and a half ago from this time that I'm talking about. But he had major anger problems. He had been suspended already 3 times that school year for fights. And now he's trying to be Christ-like. And so through our Bible studies, we're talking about turning the other cheek, keeping that anger under control. We're digging into God's word, trying to challenge him. And he comes to Sunday school that Sunday and goes, Tom, this kid, James, is just driving me nuts. He's looking to fight me, and I don't want to fight. I could destroy him, and I just don't want to do that. And I'm like, we started going through that. We started going through the Bible verses, and we started talking about what he can do. Walk away, do all these little things, you know, trying to ways just to escape that situation so he doesn't feel like he needs to go off and haul him out, right? Wednesday afternoon, youth group's about to start. Ethan starts running up to me. Biggest bright-eyed face I've ever seen in my life. He has 2 bruises on his face. He's all, Tom, you're never going to believe this. And I'm like, you look like you need to go to the hospital or have some type of, you know, meat thing to calm down those. He's all, dude, this is a great story. You're never going to believe this. I'm like, okay, so tell me. So he gets into the second period. He's like, Tom, I was in the second period. And James came up to me. And he just started bugging me and cursing at me. And he's like, how can he be a Christian? I think Christians are stupid. I don't think you ever really believe in this Jesus dude. You know what that kid did? That James kid did? While he was, Ethan's sitting down. Sitting down. In his desk chair, okay? So there's only one way out. You know those desks that you have? And he's all, this kid kind of knew the scripture. He's like, if you know Jesus and if you really believe in it, you're not going to do anything. Wham! Ethan, I don't know how he did it. He tells us the emotional thing. He looks up and goes, you are forgiven. That only made him more mad. He hauled off and hit him again. And guess what? Again, Ethan said, you are forgiven. A minute later, James, what I now know is James, starts walking up to Ethan, and the two hug. And he puts his arm around James and goes, this is the guy we've been praying for. And because you were willing to teach me, and I was willing to listen to what God is working in my heart, he wants to know more about Jesus. It's amazing. I wish I had the strength like him. I wish that could be my story, but it's not. I have my own stories. I have my own things that I'm struggling with and stuff that I've overcome. What are you going to be doing to bring peace, to be fully satisfied in that peace, to bring people to Christ? I know I like to overreact sometimes. I'm well aware of that. I think some of us have that same struggle. Let's go to verse 10, 11, and 12. Fully satisfied are those who persecuted for being right with God's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are we really living for Christ? Trying to be right with him? If not, you need to challenge yourself to push yourself. Verse 11. Blessed are those who, when others revile you or persecute you or and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on Jesus' account or on God's account. Are we trying to share the opportunity of who Jesus is at work, at school, in line getting groceries? And verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is greater in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets and who were before you. I'm no prophet. I'm just a man trying to know Jesus more and more each and every day. I daily try to take up that cross. I try to teach my boys how to live. I give hugs when necessary and needed. Hopefully not tripping over or being stupid and trying to tell people how to run their lives. And before I'm going to pray, and then after that we're going to watch a video. And I found this video, and it was inspiring to me, and hopefully it will kind of sum up everything we just talked about. Father, I just want to thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity, for being up here to speak your word. And hopefully this has challenged others on how I'm being fully satisfied in life. There are so many things in those verses of being merciful, to mourn, to being righteous. And I pray that we would just take one or two of those things to work on ourselves, to be more like you, to be merciful, to be loving. Watch over us and guide us this week. Challenge us to try to go above and beyond for your name, to spread your gospel. Carla said it perfectly today, and I just pray that you would just help us through that prayer that she prayed for this church and for the people in this church and the people who are Christians, that we can be that light, that salt and light. In your name I pray.